Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
And stepping into the speakeasy with us is Daniel Midgley, and we're going to be talking about accents and voice recognition software very shortly. But there has been a big question, Daniel Midgley, that has been plexing a lot of people.
Well, it's been vexing me.
Yes.
And that is, it's been creeping in in Australia off of. I'm starting to hear that.
Okay.
Hmm.
What is exactly the problem with
I don't have a problem. I'm just wondering why we didn't hear it and now all of a sudden we are hearing it. And is it technically acceptable?
Okay. Well, one thing you need to realize is that by the time you become aware of something, it's already been happening for 100 years.
Yes, that is very true with me particularly.
Shakespeare, Willie Shakes, used off of. I found an instance in Henry VI, Part 2, the Earl of Suffolk says, "How comest thou so?" Oh, such English.
We should bring comest back, shouldn't we?
Simcox says, "A fall off of a tree." No problem.
Yeah.
Nobody had any problem with it. But then, about 1855, people started, for some reason or no reason, having a problem with it. That's the first case I can find. There's a book called The Verbalist. It says, "In such sentences as, 'Give me a yard off of this piece of calico,' either the off or the of is," get this, "vulgarly superfluous." "The sentence would be correct with either one, but not with both of them." Now, I can't figure out what the problem is.
Mm.
We have examples of two prepositions, like off and of, all the time. Throughout and upon and into. I can't figure out what the problem is, but it does seem to me that some sentences don't sound good without it. For example, "I broke your statue by knocking the top off of it," right?
Yes.
Knocking the top off it? That sounds kind of more odd to me.
I find it to be vulgarly superfluous.
But with a lot of words like that, you became very conscious of it if you were using something like Twitter and you had a limit on your characters, at the point when we had to reduce it to 140. And any word that looked unnecessary, you'd be snipping out and squeezing it in and abbreviating. And in that context, I think I would have dropped the of.
You can drop the of if you want to, or the off, whatever sounds good. But I think off of sounds fine. And this is one of those things that is really not a problem. But I did learn something when I was taking a look through grammar books from the 1850s, I found this little tidbit. We often think that people in the past, when it came to language, they really, they did it right. They knew how to do language, and we're just a bunch of dummies who don't know how to do anything. Well, I found this quote: "So few people speak or write really good grammar, and fewer still punctuate decently." So even in 1855, people were complaining about people's grammar. This is perennial.
Em, before we get on to accents and voice recognition, Em wants to know how you say Las Vegas. Are you a Las Vegas or Las Vegas?
I'm a Las Vegas.
Yeah. So was I until I got taken to task and told that, it is Las Vegas.
According to whom?
Well, according to whoever took me to task.
Well, maybe they were taking you to task funnily because, I don't know, the Spanish pronunciation, that's where it comes from, is no guide to how it should be pronounced, but they would say Las, and I only ever hear people say Las. I've never heard anybody say Las Vegas. That's really interesting. I'll keep my ears open for that one. And then...
How does Elvis say it in the song?
Viva Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Mm. When I hear it, I'll go, ooh, that's interesting. Variation. Mm. Oh, where are you from? Oh, because I don't judge. I just listen.
Brendan has a little beef. Clever, Brendan. "I'm literally blown away over the inappropriate use of the word literally."
Ah, yes. A lot of people feel this way, and that's, it's normal to feel that way because we don't feel like literally should be used non-literally. But in this case, it's being used as an intensifier. People have been using literally as an intensifier for literally 400 years. I agree that it makes it a little ambiguous if you say literally as an intensifier, but humans are really good at ambiguity and sorting that stuff out. It's a human superpower.
Daniel Midgley, linguist from the podcast Talk the Talk. Now let's talk about accents. Gary says there are subtle differences in Australian accents. In WA we say beer, beer, whereas in New South Wales I say beer.
I don't know. Ask for a beer.
Yeah. It is different. I know what you're saying, Gary. I'm just struggling to relay that to everybody.
And Queenslanders tend to stretch the vowel out a bit.
Okay, well, now here's something funny. There are minor things like that. Like I know that there's the helicopter-halicopter merger or the celery-salary merger in Melbourne. But we don't usually think of the Australian accent as having, different parts. There's pretty much one Australian accent, but then we have different regional, not regional, but different sociolects. Like we generally speak of the broad accent, the cultivated accent, and then the general accent. And those exist kind of everywhere in Australia. So it's actually not like the States or the UK where you go to a different place and they have a different accent. But if you're moving around socially, then you will hear different accents.
Mm.
It is 12 to 7. Take a listen to this voice-activated elevator in Scotland.
Voice recognition technology in a lift in Scotland. You ever tried voice recognition technology?
No.
They don't do Scottish accents.
11.
Could you please repeat that?
11. 11.
You need to try an American accent.
11. 11.
That sounds Irish, not American.
What, doesn't it?
Where in America is that? Dublin?
I'm sorry. Could you please repeat that?
Try an English accent, right?
11. 11.
You for the same part of England as Dick Van Dyke?
Please speak slowly and clearly.
11. 11.
You're just saying it the same way.
You want to keep saying it till I understand Scottish, all right?
Is it really a problem, Daniel Midgley? Voice recognition and accents?
It can be for me, you know, voice recognition systems love me because I have no problem. By the way, if you want to really do it the American way, just go full Kermit the Frog. Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here. 11.
Thank you for your order.
if an accent or a language is well represented, then yes, there tend to be tools for it and so on. But if there is a slightly smaller group of people, sometimes it has a hard time.
I love accents, but with all of this voice recognition, are we in danger of all sounding the same?
Well, that's the conclusion that I saw from The Mirror and The Sun. Check out these headlines. Terrifying reason you could lose your regional accent and technologies to blame.
And with the Brit, I mean, there is so much pride in a regional accent and being able to pick a regional accent in the UK.
That's right. I mean, this is why I think this is not really a problem. First of all, people like their accents and they're not going to dump them. Second of all, this is something that we do all the time anyway. We're always accommodating the way that we speak depending on who we're talking to. Is it somebody who's learning English? Then we'll speak a certain way. Is it our computer? Then we'll talk a certain way. But we probably won't do that long term, because if we do change the way we talk, it's because we're in a relationship with someone or there's somebody that we want to be like. We don't want to be like our computers.
Mm.
So we'll change the way we talk and then we'll go back to talking the regular way.
Perfect timing, Daniel Midgley. JJ says, my Kiwi sister-in-law is nearly 60 and has lived in Australia most of her adult life. And she sounds like she just arrived. What's with speaking to someone with an accent and then starting to sound like them?
Ah, that's the thing, right? We rub off. We always use language not just to communicate, but to show what groups we're in. And we have a very strong tendency to talk like the people that we're talking to. And you can think of this when you talk to somebody who's really sweary all the time, and then you find, oh my goodness, I'm my stars and whiskers, I'm turning into a swearer.
That's true. That is true. If you're around someone who swears a lot, suddenly, why did I say that?
Language.
I never use that word.
Yes. Language is catching.
We're talking to Daniel Midgley, linguist from the podcast Talk the Talk. I had the real challenge when I lived in Thailand. My flatmate, my best friend, she was Thai Chinese, slight Chinese accent, but she also went to school in South London. So she had that. And you do find yourself picking up on what they say. And I had my Australian accent mixed with her Chinese South London accent, and it was just weird.
The greatest accent I ever heard was somebody from South Africa who moved to Texas.
Oh.
Lived there for quite a while. Oh, my goodness.
I have a sister-in-law. I think I've mentioned this before. My sister-in-law grew up in Alabama, then was educated in Ireland, and now lives in Australia. So,
oh, dear.
Yeah. Alabama, Irish, Australian. Very unique.
And we just mix these things unconsciously, don't we?
But when it comes to, you know, if I'm ever having trouble with voice recognition software, I put on the voice where you try and sound like the voiceover at the train station that says the next stop on platform number. And when you do that, it does, when you slow it down and
put spaces between your words.
It somehow goes, oh, I'm talking to another, you know, artificial intelligent form. No emphasis on the intelligence there. But somehow it recognizes you better in those situations.
I think so. And this is just a function of the data. You know, people are trying to fix this. Like, usually what you do is, if there's an accent that isn't well recognized, the old approach was to throw lots and lots of data at it, just give it more data. But now there's a team. This is some work from Fedor Kitashov and a team from Cisco Systems USA. They're using something called the Speech Accent Archive to try to recognize sounds across accents. Peter, can I get you to read this for me? This is a sentence or a paragraph that they're using.
Okay. Please call Stella. Ask her to bring these things with her from the store. 6 spoons of fresh snow peas, 5 thick slabs of blue cheese, and maybe a snack for her brother Bob. We also need a small plastic snake and a big toy frog for the kids. She can scoop these things into 3 red bags, and we will go meet her Wednesday at the train station.
Oh, nice reading, Peter.
Is that the linguistic version of Quick Brown Fox Jumps Over the Fence?
Yes, it is. It contains a lot of common words, and it contains just about all of the sounds in English. And there are recordings of thousands of people saying this all over the world. So this team took that data, and they used it to try to figure out how maybe a T or a D or a sh sounds in lots of different accents. And then they're using that data to improve speech recognition for everyone.
Should we have a little bit of a listen to Alexa with a few of the issues that Alexa has?
Alexa, play Something's Cooking in My Kitchen on Spotify by Dana.
I can't find Something's Cooking in My Kitchen by Dana on Spotify.
It's no Donna. I'm an idiot in an American accent. English or American? English. Alexa, play Something's Cooking in My Kitchen by Dana.
Here's a sample of Something's Cooking in the Kitchen.
See, you just hate Scottish people, you cow!
Very good.
We all should be a little more tolerant of variation, shouldn't we? And this isn't just for varieties of English. It's for other languages, too. There are languages that aren't well documented, and it could be good for those people to be able to use technological tools. So that's something that people are working on, too.
Dan is upset with you, Daniel.
What's wrong, Dan?
Dan in Menorah.
Oh.
Daniel Midgley doesn't like upsetting people.
Yeah,
so tell us about
when
it,
when you did the Kermie the Frog bit, he laughed so much he woke up the dog. So Kermit the Frog was your response too?
Sorry about that, Dan.
Very good.
I can also do Ernie.
Larry on the text says, computers are more of a threat to English spelling with that wiggly red line unless you are the American.
Ah, okay. Let's talk about that. First of all, you know that you can change the language, right?
Mm-hmm.
To English,
no.
Australian. Okay. Find the settings, get some help. Let's just do a search for that. It's an interesting problem because people worry that it's that predictive text or that little jaggy line is going to change the way that we write. And in fact, I found that this is something for English speakers, but it's actually something for Chinese speakers, the various varieties of Chinese. Because I saw a video by Asian Boss where they tried to get Chinese people to write down in Chinese characters various words like toothpaste and thumb and sneeze and DNO. They couldn't do it. They could seriously not remember how to write words like that. I was astounded.
Why?
Well, because if you are typing on your phone, you don't type Chinese characters. There are literally thousands of them. You have to know thousands just to be basically literate. So what you do is you type it in English letters, and then it will suggest the right one for you, and then you can say, oh, that's the one.
That's it, yeah. So they recognize it, but they can't remember how to spell it.
This video, Asian Boss, look it up. They simply cannot remember how to write basic words. And that they're calling it character amnesia. And there are some efforts to try to fight this with entertaining shows where people will, it's like a spelling bee. You think they don't have spelling bees in Chinese? Oh, they do now because it's a tough language.
What about this text regarding accents? I'm Irish. I was told by my son's teacher when he was in pre-primary that my accent was having a negative impact on his literacy.
Okay, that is BS. And and it's classist BS,
yes.
And I need everybody to recognize that for what it is. You are not harming your child by speaking your variety of language. There are lots of ways to do English. No variety is better than any other for learning. Please, knock that stuff back.
Another text, ask Daniel how you should pronounce our or ah, as in that is our show, for example.
Oh, right. I'm going to probably do it differently than everybody else, and there isn't a right way to do it, you know, as long as I can be understood. But I think that we have a wonderful show. Our show is really great. I say it like R.
Oh, okay.
I say it like yeah. R. I've got the hour-R merger. That's an interesting one. And you know, I also have to say that I have the Mary merger, and I have the caught merger. I say caught and caught like they're the same thing.
All right, enough about everyone else. Let's turn the attention back to me. The highlight of my broadcasting career happened about a week and a half ago. Now, take a listen to this, Daniel Midgley. You mentioned you grew up in the country there. I'm detecting a Western New South Wales twang.
I'm from the sunny central west slopes and plains in New South Wales in a place called Parkes.
Was I actually right?
You were dead right.
Yes. Yes, Craig, it was fascinating talking with you, but I have to leave now because I need to punch the air at getting that guess right.
Seriously, Daniel Midgley, he described it as the best day of his life.
Boom!
Being able to guess that accent. Yes, we still haven't heard the end of it.
Mm. Well, you're doing much better than I could.
No, do you know the honest truth?
What?
Complete guess. He was the head of rural business at one of the big four accountancy firms. I assume probably based in Sydney. He's got an interest in farming. Where else is he going to be, really?
Take those victories where you can, Peter, seriously.
Yeah, I do. It's like I'm working with Sherlock, man. You know, the powers of deduction.
Daniel, the final word is probably not, technology is probably not changing the way that we talk. Don't worry. Speak to your computer the way that works for you, and they're getting better.
Always fun. Thank you so much. That was Daniel Midgley, linguist from Talk the Talk.